Turn with me in the Holy Scriptures this morning to the 16th chapter of the book of Numbers. Numbers 16. We'll read together the first 35 verses of the chapter, and that entire section is our text also for this morning. The Word of God at Numbers 16, verse 1. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men, and they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, "Ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord?" And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face, and he spake unto Korah and to all his company, saying, "Even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him. Even him whom he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him. This do, take you censers, Korah and all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. Ye take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi." And Moses said unto Korah, "Hear, I pray you, ye sons of Levi. Seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel hath separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them? And he hath brought thee near to him, and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee, and seek ye the priesthood also? For which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord. And what is Aaron, that ye murmur against him?" And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, which said, "We will not come up. Is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of the land that floweth with milk and honey, to kill us in the wilderness, except thou make thyself altogether a prince over us? Moreover, thou hast not brought us into a land that floweth with milk and honey, or given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Wilt thou put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up." And Moses was very wroth, and said unto the Lord, "Respect not their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them." And Moses said unto Korah, "Be thou and all thy company before the Lord, thou and they, and Aaron tomorrow. And take every man his censer, and put incense in them, and bring ye before the Lord every man his censer, 250 censers, thou also, and Aaron, each of you his censer." And they took every man his censer, and put fire in them, and laid incense thereon, and stood in the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, Separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin? And wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the congregation, saying, Get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, Depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sins. So they gat up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan and Abiram, on every side. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents, and their wives, and their sons, and their little children. And Moses said, Hereby ye shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of mine own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. And all Israel that were gathered about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, Lest the earth swallow us up also. And there came out a fire from the Lord, and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. There ends our reading of God's Word this morning. May the Lord add His blessing to our reading of the Holy Scriptures. Beloved congregation, the incident that is recorded in this first part of Numbers chapter 16 took place during the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, took place very likely at the beginning of the 40 years of wandering. You will recall that at Kadesh Barnea, the people had rebelled against the Lord. They had refused to go up into the land of Canaan and take possession of that land, believing that God would be with them and God would give them the victory. Instead, in their unbelief, they rebelled against God and against Moses. God's punishment for their unbelief was that they were made to wander for 40 years in the wilderness. During that time of wandering, the entire generation of that day died. All that were above 20 years and older perished in the wilderness and were not allowed to enter into the land of Canaan. It was during that 40 years of wandering that the rebellion of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram took place. This is one of only a couple of incidents that are recorded in Scripture that took place during the 40 years of wandering. For the most part, Scripture passes over in complete silence the 40 years that the children of Israel spent wandering in the wilderness. Only a couple of incidents, and those incidents of the same character as the incident that we consider together this morning. Incidents that show that indeed Israel did not deserve the favor of God, did not deserve the promises of God, did not deserve that God would give them the inheritance of the land of Canaan. The passage is full of practical instruction for us today. This incident, like all of the Old Testament, happened for our instruction, as the Apostle Paul says, for our learning and for our admonition, that we would trust in the Lord our God and would obey His word. Particularly is this passage of instruction as far as the attitude and the behavior of God's people with respect to their God-appointed office bearers. The passage that we will consider this afternoon is a passage full of instruction with regard to the office bearers and the attitude and behavior of the office bearers with respect to the people of God. This passage concerns especially the attitude and the calling of the office bearers. It is a passage of practical instruction, especially for our new pastor. Instruction through the example, the negative example of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, and the response of Moses and of Aaron to the rebellion of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. I call that to your attention briefly this morning, the rebellion of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Let's notice, first of all, their sin. Let's notice, secondly, the seriousness of their sin. And let's notice, finally, the punishment that God administered on account of the rebellion of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. The sin of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram was simply their rejection of Moses and Aaron as the leaders, the office bearers of the nation of Israel. They did not want, and they would not recognize, the authority of Moses and Aaron over them. Verse 3 makes that plain. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. And that rejection of the authority of Moses and Aaron also comes out in what we read in verses 12 and 13. And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, which said, "We will not come up. Is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of a land that floweth with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, except thou makest thyself altogether a prince over us?" "We will not come up," was their response to Moses' summons. They refused to recognize Moses' authority over them. In today's terms, they refused to meet with the office bearers. They refused to meet with the pastor. And they refused to meet with them because they refused to recognize the God-ordained authority of Moses and Aaron over them. The ringleaders in this rebellion were Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, according to the opening verse of the chapter. Verse 1 also makes mention of An, the son of Peleth, a son of Reuben. Korah was a Levite of the family of the Kohathites. Dathan and Abiram were Reubenites. The opposition of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram was not due to a legitimate charge that they had against Moses or against Aaron, but it was a personal vendetta, personal dissatisfaction with Moses and Aaron. There is a time when those who are under authority are justified in not obeying those who are in authority over them. That, of course, is when those who are in authority over them require them to disobey God's law, require them to sin. And that certainly was not the case here. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram were altogether unjustified in their rebellion against the authority of Moses and of Aaron. Verse 15, "And Moses was very wroth." There's a place in the church for righteous anger. That was true of Moses at this time. "And Moses was very wroth and said unto the Lord, Respect not their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them." Moses had done absolutely nothing to offend Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Nothing to justify their rebellion. Even then, even when God's people have a legitimate complaint against their office bearers, that happens. Even then, God's people must carry out that complaint in a lawful and in an orderly way. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram did not do that. And that, of course, is because they did not have a legitimate complaint against Moses or against Aaron. What Korah, Dathan, and Abiram did was to stir up the congregation. What Korah, Dathan, and Abiram did was to promote schism in the congregation. And that is never justified. The sin of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram was rebellion. Rebellion against the God-ordained authority of Moses and Aaron. We ought to note certain outstanding things in connection with that main sin of theirs, the sin of rebellion. First of all, these men were prompted by jealousy. By jealousy. They were envious of Moses and of Aaron. That comes out in Psalm 106, verses 16 through 18, where this history is recounted. In Psalm 106, at verse 16, we read, "They envied Moses." They envied Moses also in the camp. "And Aaron, the saint of the Lord." That certainly indicates that they had no righteous complaint against Moses or Aaron. Aaron here is called the saint of the Lord. Saint here is holy one. And as you know, that word holy one means one who is separated unto God. Aaron had been separated unto the service of God. They envied them. The earth opened and swallowed up Dathan and covered the company of Abiram. And a fire was kindled in their company, the flame burning up the wicked. Korah was a son of Levi, and he undoubtedly was jealous of the position of Aaron, the position of high priest, and desired that position for himself. Dathan and Abiram were Reubenites. Reuben was the eldest of the 12 sons of Jacob. And they undoubtedly, as descendants of the eldest of Jacob's sons, were jealous of the leadership of Moses and wanted that position of leadership over the people for themselves. These men were convinced that they had not received the position. They had not received the recognition in the congregation that they deserved. They were convinced that their gifts were being overlooked. They viewed the offices among God's people not as a means for the service of God, not as a means for the service and building up of God's people, but they viewed the office as a position of glory for themselves. That's what they wanted. They wanted the recognition. They wanted the honor. They wanted the praise of men. And for that reason, they rebelled against Moses and against Aaron. They were not satisfied, if you will, to be ordinary members of the congregation. They wanted something more. Verse 9. Seemeth it but a small thing unto you, says Moses to them, that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord? They were Levites. They had been separated unto God for service about the tabernacle. They weren't satisfied with that. And to stand before the congregation to minister unto them, they weren't satisfied with that. They wanted something more. They wanted the office of high priest that God had given to Aaron and to Aaron's sons. So that, first of all, they were jealous. They were jealous. In the second place, about their sin, it's significant that instead of bringing their objection in a lawful way, they stirred up the people against Moses and Aaron. They worked divisively in the congregation. They worked to divide the congregation against Moses and Aaron. They worked schism in the church. That's verse 2. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly that they had convinced to be on their side. 250 princes. Verse 19. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. That indicates that Korah, Dathan, and Abiram had convinced the majority of the congregation to be on their side. Convinced the majority of the congregation to be against their God-appointed office bearers, Moses and Aaron. They were schism in the body. Thirdly, in their opposition against Moses, they made harsh and altogether unjustifiable accusations. Accusations that simply were not true. Obviously not true. Verse 13. They accuse Moses and Aaron of bringing them into the wilderness to die. Is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of a land that floweth with milk and honey? That's how they characterize Egypt and the bondage of Egypt, with the very words with which God characterized the land of Canaan, that he was going to give them for their possession, a land that floweth with milk and with honey. That, they said, was true of the land of Egypt. On the face of it, a lie. Egypt had been the house of bondage for them. Egypt had been a place of misery and suffering and of death. And they judge men's motives. That indicates that their charge against Moses and Aaron was unjust. We may never judge a man's motives. We may never judge the heart. Never. They say about Moses and Aaron that out of hatred against God's people, motivated by hatred against them, they brought them into the wilderness so that they would perish in the wilderness. Deliberately, they had brought them in the wilderness so that they would die. They judged the motives of Moses and Aaron. They judged them altogether wrongly. But even their taking it upon themselves to judge their motives was wrong and sinful. Finally, we ought to note that in justifying their rebellion against Moses and Aaron, they twisted the word of God. That's the reference in Jude to this history. Jude, verse 11. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. There were certain in the New Testament church, the apostolic church, who were guilty of these things, guilty of gainsaying, as was the case, says Jude, with Korah in the wilderness. Gainsaying is the lie. It's to speak untruthfully. It is to be deceitful. And that's exactly what they did when they twisted the word of God. That had been God's word to the congregation in Exodus 19, verse 16. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And God goes on there in that passage to refer to the people as holy. They shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. That's what God said at the time that He gave the law to Israel. And now Korah twists that word of God. We're all holy. God Himself said that. We're all holy. Who are you to be holier than the rest of the congregation? Who are you to usurp a higher position over all God's people who are holy? That's what heretics do. They always appeal to the Word of God to justify their sin, their wicked behavior, or their false doctrine. They do. And they always twist the Word of God. Like those who are promoting in the church today women in office. They will appeal to Galatians 3, verse 28, where the apostle says that in Christ there is neither male nor female. We are all one in Him. And that's supposed to be a justification for the women assuming the authority of the special offices in the church. They twist the Word of God. Indeed, God had said that the whole congregation was holy, of course. But that same God had also separated unto Himself Moses and Aaron to be the leaders of the congregation, to be the office bearers among His people. No contradiction there. No conflict whatsoever. This was the sin of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Rebellion against Moses and Aaron. We ought to be impressed this morning with the seriousness of this sin. for the seriousness of the sin of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram was not merely that they rebelled against Moses and against Aaron, but the seriousness of their sin was that they rejected God, God's authority over them, God's rule through His appointed office bearers over them. That was the seriousness of their sin. They would not recognize the authority that God had invested in Moses and in Aaron. They would not acknowledge that God Himself had separated Moses and Aaron, that God had called these two men to be leaders among His people. All that they saw in Moses and Aaron was those men themselves. They did not see God who had called them. They did not see Jesus Christ, whom they represented and of whom they were the types. That they failed to see. All that they could see was Moses and Aaron, and nothing beyond that. That's plain from their accusation that Moses and Aaron had usurped authority in Israel. They say that time and again. Verse 3, "Ye take too much upon you. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord." Verse 13, "Is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of a land that floweth with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, except thou make thyself altogether a prince over us?" And again, verse 30, "But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord." Provoked the Lord because they refused to recognize that the Lord had called Moses and Aaron. That was the seriousness of their sin. That this was the issue is also plain from what Moses says to them in verse 5. "Even tomorrow the Lord will show who are His and who is holy." Who are the ones God has separated unto Himself? Who are the ones that God has called to serve in the office? Tomorrow, says Moses, we will find that out. That was exactly their sin. It wasn't Moses and Aaron who had brought them out of Egypt. God had brought them out of Egypt. Wasn't Moses and Aaron leading them this particular way through the wilderness to the land of Canaan? This was the way God had directed Israel to go. This was their serious sin. Not rebellion against Moses and Aaron. Rebellion against God. Not only did they refuse to acknowledge the authority that God had given to Moses, but they refused to recognize the special position that God had also given to Aaron. And together, that they represented his Son, Jesus Christ, who is both the leader and the one with authority over God's people, and the one who, as high priest, with the sacrifice of himself, brings God's people near unto him. This was their sin and its seriousness. This is how we too must view the office bearers whom God has placed in authority over us. This is how we must view the deacons and the elders in our congregation. This is how we must view our new pastor. They have not presumed their offices to themselves. They have not raised themselves up in the congregation. God has called them. God has sent them. God has separated them unto their offices and their work. This is the view that we must have. This is the view of the office bearers that we must instill in our young people and in our children. This view of the office bearers must control our own behavior and our own attitude towards the office bearers. If this is the view of the office bearers that we have, then it follows that we're going to honor them for their office's sake. We're going to look beyond the men who occupy the office, and we're going to see God Himself who has sent them. We're going to see Jesus Christ Himself, whom they represent. Not only is this the truth about the office bearers that God's people must have, but this is the view that the office bearers themselves must have of their office and their work. God has called you, brother. God has called you brothers who labor in the office of Christ. He has set you in the office and called you to do the work of the office. Of that you must be confident. And because of that, you must labor in dependence upon God and independence upon Jesus Christ. Moses and Aaron did that here. You don't labor. You mustn't labor in your own strength. You mustn't usurp your own authority. But you must labor in the confidence that God has called you. You must labor in conscious dependence daily upon Him for the grace and strength to do the work of the office. And when the work of the office is demanding, when the work of the office is as it is sometimes, altogether unpleasant, when the work of the office is difficult, as it is often, then you must remember God has called you. God has sent you. God will give you the grace and strength that you need to do the work of the office. Because their sin was serious, it was punished by God severely. We read of that punishment in verses 31 through 33. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. An awful punishment that also extended to the 250 princes who sided with Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Verse 35 tells us that God Himself destroyed them, sending a fire from heaven that consumed them. And then the next day, in the passage that we did not read, that immediately follows, we learn that God visited the congregation with a plague that killed 14,700 of the children of Israel. An awful punishment, severe punishment, but a punishment that was deserved because of the seriousness of the sin. The earth opened and swallowed these three men up, and all that pertained to them, all their possessions, all their cattle, their wives, and their children. They all went down into the pit. The earth opened and swallowed them all. That is a vivid testimony from God Himself that there's no place on the face of the earth for such as rebel against His authority. They were punished, not only by being swallowed up by the earth, but they were punished with the awful punishment of hell thereafter. They did not only go down into the pit of the earth, they went down into the pit that is hell. A vivid portrayal that there is no place in all the world for such as rebel against God. God visits the same sort of punishment today upon those who rebel against His authority. The inevitable result of the refusal to submit to God-appointed office bearers in the church is that those who are guilty of that sin are cut off from the congregation. The inevitable result of those who commit that sin is that they are destroyed and lost spiritually to the church. They and their children cut off in their generations. This is a warning to us to receive and to honor the office bearers in the congregation. There's a positive side to this. We must be motivated to receive our office bearers for the sake of their work, for the sake of the calling that they have among God's people, opposition to the office bearers only hinders their work in the congregation. For the sake of their work among God's people, we must honor the office bearers. Secondly, we ought to be motivated to receive the office bearers for the sake of the peace and the unity of the congregation. Opposition to the office bearers invariably results to turmoil in the congregation, disunity among God's people, and in the end, even schism. That's what happened here in the history involving Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. For the sake of the peace and the unity, priceless peace in the congregation, let us receive and let us honor the office bearers. But finally, we ought to be motivated to receive our office bearers for the glory of God. That, in the end, was the issue here. The office bearers represent God, and they represent Jesus Christ among us. God's great work in Jesus Christ through now the office bearers. Because of that, God is glorified in the work of faithful office bearers, and God is glorified in a congregation that receives the work of the office bearers. Therefore, we ought to, for God's sake and God's glory, receive and honor the office bearers. And pray for them. Oh, yes. That too. For the fact of the matter is that the office bearers, like Moses and Aaron, are mere men, weak men, sinful men. Pray for them. Pray that God will use them in spite of their weaknesses, in spite even of their sins, that God will be pleased to use them for the good of the congregation. Pray that God will be honored in their labors for their work's sake, for the sake of God's glory. Honor the office bearers. Amen.